above, leaving you wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. Don't blow your tomorrows, don't throw away your love. You gotta be as wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove.
Show. I'm Randy Moggins.
And I'm Sue Patterson.
And I know a lot of you, based on the comments that I got, really enjoyed the last show that we did, which was the Judas cycle. And this is part of course, the Synoptic series that we've been doing, which reviews the foundational studies of the third day and brings in probably a little sharper focus now because we've condensed things. Some of the understandings that we've had on these, and for new listeners, you of course can then go back and reference some of the older material that's on the site and begin to pull that together. For newer listeners, I think this is going to be a blessing to be able to get this into a nugget format. So this is the Esau effect, and this is Synoptic Study Number 7, is that correct?
I believe it is,
yes. It is. And we're going to look at... Well, what happens when you trade your heritage?
The Esau effect is actually a phrase that you coined way back when, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, and what it is it's basically, in a nutshell, it's the giving away of the rightful heritage that the Lord God has given you through Jesus Christ. And, you know, it's everything that that the Lord had set up through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And it's the heritage of Israel, the true heritage of Israel, the spiritual heritage of Israel that he has given to us freely. And it's that same heritage that Jesus Christ has died on the cross for. And when a person takes that heritage and throws it away like a filthy rag, the Lord doesn't take too kindly to that. And that is exactly what the Zionist Christians are doing through the whole thing of giving. They're giving away the true and rightful heritage that belongs to us as spiritual Christians. We are spiritual Jews. We are spiritual Israel. And when they give that away, they're tossing away everything that the Lord has set up and everything that Jesus Christ died on the cross for. They're taking it and just throwing it away like a filthy rag. The Lord doesn't take too kindly to that. And this is what we call the Esau effect, when they actually give away their rightful heritage in place of something else. And we call it the Esau effect. Because remember what Esau did. Remember when Esau traded his heritage for a bowl of soup to fill his belly? He gave it away to Jacob, didn't he?
Yes.
Yes, and that is what the Lord, and what did the Lord say about Esau? He said, Esau, I hate it. Why did he hate Esau? Was it because he was a big, rough guy? You know, remember, he was all hairy all over. No, he hated him because he gave away his heritage. And this is what the serpents do. And in essence, the scorpions follow that to a certain extent, but they kind of, they're more after the covetousness, the greed. But the serpents, they are the ones that truly give away the heritage, and they are the ones that actually are behind having the true Christians killed, the true ones that claim their heritage. And so it's kind of a reversal there, so to speak. They give it away, and then they turn around and kill the very people that claim it. And this is the whole thing about the Esau effect. So we're going to go into that, explain what it is, and this is the driving force behind the serpents. This is the driving force behind the beast. This is the driving force of why the tribulation has to occur.
You know, you mentioned the term spiritual Israel there, and it's unfortunate that we should even have to use that term. Technically, in the New Covenant, we are Israel. It's that there's no needs to be no qualifier. Were it not for the people that we're going to discuss on this program tonight, which represent the stream of thought, which is called dispensationalism. So, you know, sometimes I'm tempted to not even qualify it and say Israel, but then everybody looks to that city in the Middle East, Jerusalem, and that becomes Israel, and the Jews become, again, a race of people, and that's not the construct that we understand anymore in the New Covenant. So, sometimes I feel like I need to qualify that.
Yeah, exactly, because when you say, I'm a Jew, they say, oh, were you born in Israel? Were you born a Jew? You know, they automatically think that. They put it to the physical. And we know as true spiritual Jews and true spiritual Israel that it is all spiritual. It's spiritual. We're not physical Jews. We are spiritual Jews. And you're right. We do have to qualify that because anybody that speaks about Israel or Jews is immediately thinking about the Middle East. And that is the downfall. That is the stumbling block that causes so many to lose their salvation. And yes, I mean lose. And yes, you can lose your salvation. And, remember the son that was lost? Yeah, mm-hmm. This is the son that was lost, and now he is found again. So, yeah, you can lose your salvation. But what the serpents do is they actually give away their salvation. They actually give it away.
Yeah, that's the worst of it all.
Yeah, for that good old bowl of soup that Esau wanted. Now it's interesting if you actually take a look at Jacob and Esau. Remember when Jacob went in there and pretended like he was Esau because, you know, the firstborn, they always mm-hmm. received the heritage.
Yeah.
And he went in there and Esau was furious when he found out that Jacob had received the blessing. And it's interesting because if you look at the whole Esau thing, Esau was hairy and it was red. He had red hair. Believe it said, you know, hairy and red all over. And red, actually, the color red is it works with the red horse. That is going to mm-hmm. be your serpent. So the color red actually signifies the serpents. You know, it also signifies the blood of Jesus Christ. It depends on the context you're looking at. But the Esau effect, it actually dovetails into the abomination of desolation. And so both of these things we're going to be discussing in this show, it gets very, very interesting. And so when we go ahead and take a look at this this whole thing about Esau, you know, his heritage, there was if you look in the Bible, you'll see the Mount of Esau. Okay, it's actually Mount Seir.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's spelled S-E-I-R. And so whenever you see Seir, S-E-I-R, is going to be speaking about Esau's basically kingdom that he had and that he built and the people of that. And they're called the Edomites. That actually inhabited that area. Now, when you're taking a look at this Mount Seir, This is the mountain where Esau occupied. And it was completely 100% destroyed by Ammon and Moab. Way back, okay? There are records to that effect. And when you take a look at Malachi 1:3, let's go ahead and read that verse, because it shows us that that Esau and his mountains and his heritage was laid waste. But it also has a prophetic future element to this.
Yeah, well, it says, "And I hated Esau and laid his mountains and heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness."
Okay, well, now we know that the dragons of the wilderness, when it's speaking about us, is speaking about the serpents. And the serpents, what's really interesting here, the serpents inherit the mountains and heritage of Esau. Now, when you take a look at this Malachi 1:3, it says, "And I hated Esau." Okay, there's the statement right there that the Lord states against Esau. "And laid his mountains and his heritage." What was his heritage? Well, he gave away his heritage, remember? He traded it for that bowl of soup. Okay, he laid it waste. How did he lay it waste? Well, with Ammon and Moab. They destroyed the kingdom of the Edomites. But it says here that he laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Okay, so he destroyed the kingdom of Esau at that time, but he kept it for waste for the dragons of the wilderness. So there's actually a future element in that verse, isn't there?
Yeah, there is.
Well, who are the dragons of the wilderness? The serpents. In other words, the Lord, through Ammon and Moab, destroyed Esau and his heritage and his mountains, laid it waste. But it's being saved for future time for the dragons of the wilderness, which are the serpents. In other words, the serpents are going to step right into that role. Oh, well, how do you say that? Well, let's read the next verse here, Malachi 1:4, because it tells us exactly what occurs. Now, remember, we did that synopsis from the physical to the spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we have a physical Esau, we had a physical Edomites, we had physical Mount Seir. Now it goes into the spiritual, where we have a spiritual Esau, spiritual Edomites, and spiritual Mount Seir. So take a look at this verse, because it gives us a story right here.
"Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down, and they shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever."
Ooh, that does not sound like a good place to be, does it?
No.
No, not at all. Well, remember, all the inhabitants of Edom, they were killed, weren't they? Well, yeah, they were all killed. But prophetically, Malachi is referring to the Edomites at some time in the future. Not the physical Edomites, but the spiritual Edomites. And what are they going to do? They're going to give away their birthright, and they're going to rebuild the house of Esau. They're going to resurrect the things of Esau that the Lord hates. Because if you look at this, whereas Edom saith, okay, so it's already stating right there, these are the people of Esau's heritage in his mountains. We are impoverished. What does that mean? It means we're poor. We don't have anything. But we will return and build the desolate places. What desolate places? Well, what the Lord laid the mountains and the heritage to waste, that's being desolate. So they're going to come back and they're going to rebuild it. And they're going to say, they shall build, and the Lord is saying, they're going to build it, but I'm going to throw it down. And they shall call them the border of wickedness. So who is this speaking about? The border of wickedness is speaking about the serpents. The serpents in the desolate places, because they rebuild it. How do they rebuild it? They rebuild the spiritual. You see, so this is speaking about the physical destruction in Malachi 1:3, and then the spiritual resurrection in Malachi 1:4. Hmm. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a pattern definitely working out there.
There certainly is. And so they're going to resurrect these things. They're going to bring them back. What are they going to bring back? They're going to bring back what Esau did, giving away the heritage. That's what they're going to rebuild. Now, let's take a look in Obadiah 1:6 because it definitely gives us an indication of this.
How are the things of Esau searched out? How are his hidden things sought up?
What does that mean? What that means, folks, is that how are the things of Esau searched out? What things is it speaking about? Well, of course, things here, the things, is in italics. But if you even take that part out, it says, how are of Esau searched out? How are his hidden things sought up? What are the hidden things? They're the dark things. They're the things that are not any good. That's the giving away the heritage. So it's telling us right here that what he did, those things are being redone. They're being searched out. They're being sought up. So what is happening here? It's being resurrected. The kingdom of Esau is being resurrected, just like the kingdom of Babylon, just like the kingdom of Assyria and Egypt. All of these things, they're all speaking about the same thing. And, you know, I actually was speaking to somebody here, in the last couple of weeks. And when you go through the Bible, you read all these different stories and all these different names and places and things like that. When you apply it to the spiritual, it's the same story over and over and over again. Serpent, scorpions, multitude, 144,000, tribulation. Everything historical plays again in the spiritual in our time. And all of the prophetic things that were spoken about back then are going to play out. And what is the Bible? It's for the Christians, not for the whole world, just for the Christians. But it's the same story with those elements told over and over and over again in 1,000 different ways using 1,000 different names. But it's the same story, giving us bits of information in each one of those elements that gives us more information of what drives these people and the things that are going to be happening. So when you're looking at Esau, well, there's another spiritual Esau. Edomites, there's another kingdom of Edomites. And who is it? Well, it's the serpents. And just like there are Assyrians and Babylonians and Persians, and, you know, you start going back through all of the different, they can be the Ammonites and the Moabites. There are certain, when you go back, each one of those kingdoms, there's an element that comes over into the spiritual. And so that's what makes it so fascinating, because it's trying to discern who it's speaking about.
Really what we've been doing in all of these studies for 4 years now. We've gone through the scripture and found a consistent identification for these different groups of people. And even though they shift and vary over time, they're very consistent in their actions, so it becomes predictable. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, all these things happen as examples and examples for us upon whom the ends of the age have come. So nothing changes. It's just a cycle. And why is that? Well, because man's heart is wicked.
Yes, it certainly is. And so what is going on here? You know, these things are being searched out. The kingdom of the Edomites and Esau is being resurrected. Mount Seir is alive and well today, right now, folks. And there are Edomites living in it. And there is a physical, Yeah, there is a physical representation of Esau. We're going to go into that just a little bit later. But what's happening? They're bringing these things up. This is the giving away of the spiritual birthright of the modern day church, and it's being handed over to the physical state of Israel by the Christians. Except they're not Christians. They're spiritual Edomites destined for the pit, who the Lord hath indignation against forever. And this now ties in with the abomination of desolation, because this is what the abomination of desolation is. Now, is this the only thing it is? No. There very well could be some other layers, some other elements, but we're looking at it through the spiritual overlay, what the abomination of desolation is. And according to everything that we have studied and seen, this is the abomination of desolation. It's the abomination that maketh desolate. What makes desolate? Well, that's the wiping out of all the multitude. The multitude becomes desolate. The kingdom of God, the good kingdom of God, the good people of the kingdom of God. Remember, the kingdom of God can is like a man that casts his net into the sea and pulls in, and they're sorted, the good and the bad, they're sorted out. The good are put into vessels and the bad are thrown away. Oh, well, that's the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God is being sifted out right now. That's the threshing floor. And so the abomination that maketh desolate, what is the abomination? Well, we're going to take a look at that because, this is what the abomination is. This alliance that's between the first third of the apostate and the second third of the apostate, the serpents and the scorpions, confederacy, whatever you want to call it. The first, the scorpions, they're driven by greed and covetousness. We've seen that in the last show that we did on the Judas cycle.
Mm-hmm.
This other, the serpents here, is driven by a mandate that the nation of Israel, the physical nation of Israel in the Mideast, are the chosen people of God. Now, their blindness to their true heritage prompts them to give away their heritage to the physical Jew, and they lift up the nation of Israel to a seat of preeminence. Hence, this is the raising of the image of jealousy spoken about in Ezekiel chapter 8. Now, think about that for a moment. Remember this image of jealousy that's spoken about in Ezekiel chapter 8? What is this image of jealousy? Well, Lord God is a jealous God. What is he jealous over? His heritage, what he's done for all of us. When you take it away and you throw it away, well, he gets pretty jealous about that, doesn't he?
He certainly does, yes.
But not so much does he get so upset with a person giving away their heritage. Where he gets the most upset is when that person beguiles and lies to, really God-fearing and God-loving people and tricks them and baits them. Of course, those people, they're in sin because they're, they're the foolish virgins. But he loves them. And they are being misled to give away their heritage. And that is why the tribulation happens, because if the Lord did not stop this, every single one of the multitude would end up in hell, because they would all give away their spiritual heritage. And so the Lord brings the tribulation in to cut that off and to bring the multitude back to the heritage that they truly deserve. And so the serpents are leading them down to the path of destruction, and the Lord cuts it off with the tribulation and says, you're not getting these. I'm taking them back. But through that process, that's the process of the tribulation, is having them to return, and he's got to beat them down. He's got to take away everything that they have to get them to that place where they will finally submit and give in. And so this is the whole, with the abomination of desolation, that's what sparks off the tribulation. That's what get this thing going. That's what the whole driving force behind the tribulation is, the giving away of the heritage. And so we're going to go ahead and take a look at that. Did you have any comments to add to that, Randy?
I think anybody who's looking at modern day evangelical Christianity specifically is going to recognize that what they've constructed in the preeminence of the nation state of Israel is in fact a god of their hearts. We've watched we watched the formation of Christians United for Israel, John Hagee's organization, from its inception, literally tracking this thing. I had started tracking it mainly by watching the alliances that were going on in IAPAC, which is the American Israel Political Action Conference. And it was in 2004, am I correct?
I actually have the date here a little bit later, which will be...
Okay, and we'll reference that again. We saw this thing rise up, and we were very quick to point out at that time that this was significant prophetically as well. And in fact, what happened is it began to basically raise up a high tide of sentiment towards Israel. At the same time, it's very polarizing. It's obviously political. It has to do with the church, which is now wedding itself to the systems of the world, the political systems, and what is occurring very gradually, I might add, over in Israel itself.
Indeed. And let's go ahead and take a look at what, and we're going to get how this all forms together, how this all comes together. But let's go back and look at what Daniel said in Daniel chapter 11, verses 31. Because this is, remember the whole north-south battle that goes on in Daniel chapter 11? Now, right. Someday we're going to be touching on that. We'll be doing a show on that because there's some interesting things there. Remember what I said before. It's the same story over and over and over again, told 1,000 different ways.
Hmm.
And so let's take a look at this verse.
And this is Daniel 11:31. And arms shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate.
Yeah, the abomination that maketh desolate. Arms shall stand on his part. What is that talking about? Well, remember the serpents? They have swords. Yeah, and the thieves, they turn in the multitude, and the serpents end up, you know, putting them through the judicial system using the governmental entities that are in place at that time. Yeah, they got arms. They're standing on his part. They shall pollute the sanctuary of strength. What is a sanctuary of strength? Well, that's where the Lord is. That's the Holy of Holies. They're gonna pollute it. How do they pollute it? Well, they're going to take their sacrifices. Well, look, Lord, we're killing these people in your name. Yes, for the people of Israel, for the true Jews that are over in Israel and for true Israel. But in essence, he's killing the very true Israel and the true spiritual Jews. And so they're going to pollute it. That's what they're doing. This is speaking about Esau, his heritage, the Edomites, that are going to be polluting the sanctuary of strength and shall take away the daily sacrifice. Who's the daily sacrifice? That's your multitude, folks. That's who the daily sacrifice is. And they're going to take it away one by one until all of them are taken. Remember, one shall be taken and one shall be left?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. Now, notice something here. They place something which is called the abomination, and that is what makes it desolate. Okay? So think about that for a moment. They shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. So the abomination is them lifting up the true physical Jews and the physical Israel into a state of preeminence, and they throw away their heritage. That is the abomination. And that is what causes the multitude, the daily sacrifice, to be taken away, and that is what causes it to be made desolate, because they desolate the multitude. Every single one of them is wiped out. It's in that entry when you start parsing this out with the spiritual understanding, the spiritual overlay understanding, you start understanding, wow, this stuff fits. It really fits. This is not speaking about some guy going in there with a pig and slaughtering it on the newly built temple over in Israel, taking a pig and slaughtering it on the, oh, that's right, the Antichrist, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Antichrist, that's who's going to do it.
Yeah.
You know, folks, that scenario with the Antichrist taking a pig and slaughtering it on the altar in a newly built temple over in Jerusalem, now, is that ever going to happen? Now, according to this, they're looking for something completely different, and the Lord may end up giving that to them. Who knows? But we know what this really is, and this is going to be happening. They're going to be partakers in this, and they're not even going to have the faintest clue what's going on. That they are actually the one, very ones that they've been preaching against all these years. And so what happens here? Well, let's take a look at Hebrews 10:29, because this is exactly what the serpents do.
Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace.
I can tell you one thing, folks. I never want to be included in that verse right there. Of how much sore punishment will they be thought worthy who has trodden underfoot the Son of God. This is what they are doing. They are trodding underfoot the Son of God. They're counting the blood of the covenant where he was sacrificed, what Jesus Christ died on the cross for. They're counting it an unholy thing. Ooh.
You
that
know,
is
and
not a good place to be.
Nearly all, I will say this with pretty much certainty, nearly all established Christian churches are guilty of this spiritually on one level or another. Through the many movements that have risen up in Christianity, including the purpose-driven church, ecumenism, which falls under the banner of Roman Catholicism, all of the churches have placed something at the forefront of their worship, and that something is not Messiah Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Folks, when they bring a Christmas tree into the sanctuary, they're bringing in the Tammuz tree.
Oh, yeah,
they're bringing
yeah.
in an idol into the very sanctuary. Yeah, and you're absolutely right. They have, you know, in some form or another, trodden underfoot the Son of God and counted the blood of the covenant as nothing.
So don't think that you go to a good church, folks. Here's the myth. Well, we go to a church, but we don't like those Jews over there. In fact, our church, we de-invested in Israel. Well, great, but you've got another idol in your heart right now that is still preventing you from coming before the throne of grace itself. So, you know, those who be careful, because this is fear and trembling time. The line is being laid at the house of God, and everybody is being weighed and measured.
Exactly. Yes, absolutely. And so what are these people doing? I mean, this is serious, folks. When you take the blood of the covenant, Jesus, what you're saying is, Jesus Christ died for nothing. It was a total waste.
We'll do it our way.
How dare them?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. How dare they? Jesus Christ died on the cross, and he spilled his blood, and he went through all that he went through. Why? Because he loved us. And then they turn around, and they do this? Oh, yeah. How much sore punishment? Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They have no right. And so they're rebuilding these things of Esau. They're raising up a physical Israel, physical Jews, into the state of preeminence, which is the abomination that makes desolate. It's because of them saying, oh, the physical Jews and the physical Israel, we must protect them at any cost. What cost? You're going to be killing innocent, true spiritual Jews and true Israel in the process of at any cost. Now, when they lift up Israel into this state of preeminence, they're lifting it up above God and above everything that is called God, the true God. And what are they also doing? They're lifting up what? The Star of David. That Star of David is on the Israeli flag. That represents the Jewish nation, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Go to the Kufi website, CUFI. They have the Star of David. Go to any website, any Zionist website, and you're going to find the Star of David on there. What is that star? Well, remember Stephen that was killed? Said that you follow the star of your God? What is the star of your God? That is going to be that's going to be the Star of David, because that represents Israel. Remember, that's the whole abomination that make it desolate. And who is this star? That represents the tabernacle of Molech, Kayun, and Rempan. These are all ancient gods that from the ancient pagans. And this is what they're going to be following.
You can go over to the Threshing Floor blog also. Chris Ardern, who... I know you've spoken to Chris, and Chris was on our Watchmen show last month. He sent me the invitation for the Christians United for Israel Washington, D.C. Summit, which is going to be July 20th to 22nd this year. And in that picture, they have presented us with a picture of the obelisk in Washington, D.C., reflected off of the river, the waters themselves. That obelisk is, that's a sign of Satan right there. And of course, their literature also includes, as it always does, the American flag and the Israel flag entwined together, and, you know, the Star of Remphan. So they've continued showing whose child they are by the symbols that they choose to embrace as well. The article is called One Nation Under the Obelisk, and that's at the blog at threshingfloor-radio.com.
Yeah, so folks, just look at the imagery that's coming out on this. Now, on July 18th of 2006, okay, CUFI had already formed at that point, and they amassed in Washington, D.C. for a Night to Honor Israel banquet. Okay, and during this banquet, there were different speakers. That night, and I watched this, and I got to tell you, folks, it floored me. Because that night, John Hagee, he's the founder of CUFI, he made this statement, and this is a quote. "The sleeping giant has awoken." That is a quote, folks. He stated that the sleeping giant has awoken. Who is the sleeping giant? That's going to be the sleeping giant of Mount Seir. The home to the Edomites has now awoken. And they are rebuilding the waste places and the heritage of Esau. Now, I'm going to give you a little thing that happened back in February of 2006. And this is what brought both Randy and I to this point where we actually recognize this. The Lord at that point in time was, I shouldn't really say dealing with me, but in the morning before I would even wake up, you know, when your mind just pops open, your eyes aren't even open, he would place a word, a phrase, a verse in my head that I was supposed to study. And there was that one morning on February 7th that I woke up and the very first thought in my head was abomination of desolation. And I started pondering that, and it just kept going through my head. It's like, okay, Lord, I guess I need to get up. And this was like 5 o'clock in the morning. And I was actually staying over at James Lloyd over in Oregon, staying there for a couple weeks, just doing some stuff there. And so I got up, and I started looking up the abomination of desolation. What is this? And after a couple hours of studying and reading all the verses and everything, you know, and pondering it and asking the Lord questions and thinking about it, it finally came to my head that, hey, this is what the abomination is. It's taking something and lifting it up into a state of preeminence above God. That is what the abomination is. That make it desolate. And so that's where I sat that whole day. You know, I kept pondering it. It's like, yeah, that's what it is. It's taking something and lifting it up above God. What is the first commandment? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you're lifting something up, you're not doing that, are you?
No.
And, that's kind of like taking images and, you know, worshiping other idols and things like that. You know, committing idolatry. Ooh, that's not good either. So that whole day I had that in my mind that, okay, that's what the abomination is. All right, now what is it? You know, what can we put our finger on? And it just kind of sat there. Well, that night, Randy called me. And this was actually February 8th. I gotta correct the date there. It was February 8th. Randy called me that night, and he said, "Sue, do you know what happened yesterday?" I was like, "No." And he said that CUFI, well, tell him the extent of the phone call, what you ended up finding out, that that this occurred, this thing that Randy's going to speak about occurred on February 7th.
Well, yeah, this is interesting. And we documented this a long time ago, because on that night, John Hagee brought together 400 pastors. And that was the night that the Christians United for Israel organization was born. He basically brought these pastors together, and that they agreed that they were going to form what Hagee called at that time a Christian IAPAC. Now, I talked about IAPAC a little bit before. IPAC is a lobbying group, very powerful in Washington, and we documented this years ago, the level of influence that IPAC holds over the Congress of the United States, the White House, and many of the political functions of our government in terms of giving preference to Israel. So what was formed here was basically a political alliance designed to bring together a coalition of people and to go to Washington, D.C., and to stand up for Israel.
Yeah. And when Randy told me that, I think, I don't even remember if it was that night or the next day, I kind of made the connections, and it's like the Lord showed me that morning what the abomination really was. It wasn't a pig getting slaughtered on the altar. Is lifting something up into a state of preeminence. And then when Randy called that night about CUFI being formed, Christians United for Israel, it was, okay, folks, this happened within about a 12-hour, well, probably about a 14-hour period.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not any coincidence there. The Lord showed me, okay, this is what it is, now be on the lookout. And then Randy brings the information of what happened because he keeps in tune with all that information. And it's like, whoa, okay, this is what it is. And since then, we've been following CUFI and all of the other Zionist organizations that are joining with CUFI, or they're also going off on their own. But what is their number one thing that drives them? Israel and the Jews are the chosen people. And that would be the physical Jews in Israel in the Mideast. Now, what does this have to do with Esau? Well, let's read Genesis 33:1.
And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men.
Folks, we've talked about from the physical to the spiritual. And there are crossovers. And what I mean by that is that a lot of times there are physical signatures in the physical that are there in the physical that they're a signature to what is occurring in the spiritual. And when I came across this verse, and then there's an article that was written about this CUFI and what Randy had just said, that night John Hagee on February 7th of 2006 brought the 400 pastors together. Whoa. Wait a second here.
What are the chances that this detail could be repeated with such exactness?
Yeah. And what is, read that verse again, Genesis 33:1.
And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men. And the Lord showed you this scripture. This was like, this was definitely a word from the Lord. I mean, we got the details, we saw what was happening, and then this detail just kind of surfaced.
Yeah, I didn't have this detail ahead of time, folks. We had the article and everything, and then I started looking up Esau because the Lord started showing me, okay, well, if this is the abomination, then it has to do, with the giving away of the heritage. Let's see, who gave away the heritage? Well, that would be Esau. So I started looking up Esau and the Edomites and all, and Mount Seir and everything, and I ran across this verse, and I'm like, whoa. Now, look at this verse. And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men. Who was Jacob? Well, Jacob is the church. And what has happened? CUFI has brought this to the church. Okay, so Jacob lifted up his eyes. The Christian church is looking, and behold, Esau came. John Hagee came, and with him 400 men. CUFI came. Do you see this, folks? The 400 men are what comprised at the very beginning the formation of CUFI, and Esau is John Hagee.
This is basically, if you read Genesis 33, well, that's an interesting number, too, you'll find out that this is a reconciliation between Esau, who has given away his birthright, and Jacob, who is the heir to the birthright.
That's correct. And what happens is, remember, Jacob took off. He ran away because Esau was so furious with him about stealing his birthright. And he looked at it as he stole it. And So Jacob took off, and this is when Esau came. Jacob wasn't even really sure what was going to happen. Okay, what's going to happen here? Is he going to wipe me out?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Esau came, and it was a reconciliation that occurred there, where Esau is kind of saying, hey, brother, you know, everything's cool. Okay, but what does this signify, folks? This signifies John Hagee with 400 pastors with Kufi, the formation of Kufi, coming to the church in a reconciliation. Hey, guys, let's get this all together. And this crosses Kufi, Christians United for Israel, Zionism in particular. Okay, Kufi just seems, appears to be the organization that's pretty much leading the charge on this. Okay, they are the basically they're crossing over religious barriers. Okay, the different churches, the different faiths, how they usually wouldn't kind of come together, they're coming together on this.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's another form of ecumenism.
It certainly is. And so what is this movement in the final stage is going to, what is going to occur? Okay, any person that claims a spiritual birthright will be deemed what? An anti-Semite, a blasphemer, an enemy of Israel, and an enemy of the Christian church. That's where the multitude is heading, because what are they going to do? They are going to claim their heritage. They are going to be deemed a blasphemer, because they are claiming the true birthright that belongs over to those Jews over in Israel. They're going to be an enemy of Israel, an anti-Semite. Oh, kind of sounds like the Muslims, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. They're going to take the Christians, the true Christians, and they're going to murder them. How are they going to do that? Well, by claiming this right here, they're an enemy of Israel. They're a blasphemer. Did you know that one of the Noahide laws that for blasphemy, you can be executed?
By beheading, too, yes.
Yes,
yeah.
And that has been adopted by the United States and has been adopted by the United Nations.
Yeah, that and again, that show is archived on the Threshing Floor site. If you just type in the search engine, Noahide Laws, that goes back to an earlier show I did, and I can't recall the date right now, where I talked about this. I talked about the Noahide Laws and how they were being implemented, how back in the administration of George Herbert Walker Bush, that would be President Bush 1, a presidential proclamation had been sent to Congress enshrining through the UN the Noahide Laws, which basically is a return to a very strict form of legalism, and how these laws are basically implemented via the UN, via laws in the United States. And this actually does tie over, of course, into the current situation with Islam as well. I mean, this is basically the formation of the two points of a holy war or a jihad. And the fact that you've not heard about it, the fact that it's not been implemented strictly, doesn't mean it doesn't exist. This actually is part of a working set of protocols at an international level.
And folks, it's coming. It's not quite there yet, but all of the elements are already in place. Look at the Homeland Security laws. Okay, if you're an enemy of the nation of Israel, remember the whole IAPAC, everything that we do for the nation of Israel,
mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
You can be labeled a terrorist. Okay, what about an anti-Semite? Well, that goes right into hate speech. Okay, the blasphemer, that's going to be under the Noahide laws. Okay, and the Christian church, well, when you start talking that, no, I claim my heritage, this is my heritage, I'm a Jew, I'm a true Jew. And they're going to say to you, what are you talking about? You're not a Jew, you're an enemy of Israel. There he is, that's the one, turn him in so I can get his goods. And then the serpents turn around and, yeah, we've got to wipe these people out because they're claiming they're claiming that they are Israel. Well, we've got to keep the Israel over in the Middle East lifted up, because that is the abomination after all. We've got to keep them lifted up so that we can keep our power and we can bring the rapture in quicker. Because
yeah, that then there's that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. you start looking at this, and it's like, man, this is the way this is heading. And are we there yet? No, not quite. But the things are all in place. After all, Esau has already come with the 400 men. There are, you know, this Kufi is getting stronger day by day. All the Zionist organizations are getting stronger day by day. Israel and the pact that the United States has with them is in solid. It's solid, folks. IAPAC is gaining more and more every day. You see, and so when you see these things progressing towards that mark, you know we're getting close.
You know, I'm going to, when we put this show up, which will be probably midweek this week, I'm going to put up the show that you and I did later that year called The Banquet of the Captives, where we dissected the speeches that were given at the first Kufi conference. And I think you'll begin to see the spiritual signatures that go through all of this, because the deception level is so high. Political leaders at all rank of the government have bought into this. They go there and they pay lip service to John Hagee. Prominent politicians, including former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich, and others endorse this movement. Now, why would Masonic Illuminist leaders who are high up in the government of the United States verify an organization founded by this guy coming out of Texas, except that it plays into the power structure of the world in the very near future? So, I mean, there's a whole lot more to this. And, you know, it gets very dark when you begin to look at it, because you realize exactly how serious this is. I mean, our people, we're kind of like the canary in the coal mine here. Our people that wake up to this, and we get reports, you know, almost every month somebody finds us and says, well, you know, I've been seeing this. I understand this is the truth. And now I've been thrown out of my church, or I had to leave, or I'm being expunged by people around me. My wife left me. My finances are terrible. There's a huge amount of persecution that goes with waking up to these understandings.
Yes, it certainly does. And you know what, folks? You can actually count it a blessing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's tough when you're going through it, but you can count it a blessing that you've been thrown out of the church, you've been expunged, that they don't want to see you anymore. You know, even to the extent that, you know, that there are breakup in marriages and things like that. Yeah, it's a bad thing. It's not a good thing. But it can be a very good thing if you're following the right Lord. Because he's going to count, you know, who can count the cost of what you've lost when you found the Lord and are following the truth? What is the cost of that? Think about it. You know, would you give up everything to follow the truth and be where you need to be with the Lord? Well, I would hope that your answer would be yes. Yes, it's tough when you're going through it.
Sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and follow me.
Yeah, there you go. In many of us, if not all of us, that have come to the truth, we've lost something. We've left something behind, and in many cases, many things behind, to follow the Lord. And that's where he wants you, because when you're in that place, he gives you everything. Yeah, you know, and these people that take what he has given them and they trodden it underfoot. No, how much sore the punishment. When you give up things and relationships and seats in your church to follow the Lord because you know what the blood of that covenant means and what the heritage means, and compare it to the person that takes that heritage and throws it away. Yeah, well, the Lord's going to be making those comparisons. And he makes them daily. It's what's in a person's heart. And so these serpents and these scorpions, they're going to be killing the very people that the Lord has deemed in their hearts want to follow him.
Oh, that could never happen. Well, I'll just point out to you, go over and read Acts chapter 7 and what happened to Stephen. Stephen quoted this scripture from Amos chapter 6, but ye have borne the tabernacle of your Moloch and Kiyun, your images, the star of your God, which ye made to yourselves. Therefore will I cause you to go into captivity beyond Damascus, saith the Lord, whose name is the God of hosts. And of course Stephen then evokes the imagery and says that you will go into captivity beyond Babylon. Well, we're heading back into the third iteration of this, and we're going to see it play out. We've expected it for a lot of years. The grace of God, His hand has held this thing back, but it's not going away. Every year, it gets a little stronger, and the drum beats can be heard in the mountains pounding. I mean, now they're getting the red heifer ready. They think that they can rebuild the temple, and it's only a matter of time until the Lord releases this and we begin to roll out into the tribulational cycle.
Exactly. And folks, you know, when we're talking about the red heifer and the rebuilding temple, we're not looking for those things. We're not looking in that area at all. However, those things are spiritual signatures. And not only that, that is what the serpents are looking for.
Yeah.
Okay, so when we talk about getting in the mind of the serpents, you got to try to think like they think. What is it they're trying to do? What is it that they're looking for? And so the Lord, what does He do? He gives them the desires of their heart, doesn't He?
Mm-hmm.
Even the wicked.
Yeah.
He gives them the desires of their heart. What do they desire? They desire the temple to be rebuilt because that fuels their delusions. And the Lord gives them their delusion. So will there be a rebuilt temple? Yeah, maybe, maybe not. Will there be a red heifer that sacrificed? Maybe, maybe not. We'll have to see what the Lord plays out there. But all these things, you know, they've been talking about the red heifer for, decades.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the rebuilding of the temple. A long, long time they've been talking about this. But this keeps the other side, and what I mean by the other side, the border of wickedness. Okay, the other side being the serpents and the scorpions, especially the serpents, they're the ones that lead the charge. The scorpions are there as their buds, their buddies.
Yeah,
in that alliance. But the serpents lead the charge. They're the ones that are driven by this. They're driven by the rapture. They're driven by the heritage of Israel, the physical Israel, protecting Israel. And so watch what they do. Watch what their whole mindset is towards. And it's towards rebuilding the temple, towards the red heifer, towards the free sacrificing. Oh, they want to bring back sacrifices. That's kind of an abomination too, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Yeah, taking the blood of an animal and putting it over the top of the blood of Jesus Christ. Yeah, where He was the last sacrifice. He was a sacrificial lamb. And so is that another form of the abomination? Yes. But that is not the one that, but look why this is caused. This is caused because of the abomination that maketh desolate. The true abomination creates more abominations, doesn't it?
Yeah. And, honestly, even if the physical events never occurred spiritually, this day, this is a pox against the house of the churches who have embraced this heresy. And I know that some of you out there are grappling with this. You're attempting to understand what it is that's occurred and what the Lord's showing you. But you have to step away from the physical things. You have to get into the spirit and understand that Israel is a spiritual construct. It is the true Israel of God. And we can verify that with the book of Galatians chapter 4. Which actually talks about the mount. And so we're in a process right now. And your stand, your walk with Christ is going to be determined by your ability to embrace the truth and embrace your heritage and your birthright and not be sucked into the illusion that's being painted by this death cult, which now has taken over evangelical Christianity and even many of the messianic movements.
Yes, exactly. And so you got to watch out for that, folks, but follow them. Be aware of what they're doing. You know, there's something else interesting having to do with the serpents and the scorpions and all that. Remember when that person was asking the Lord Jesus Christ, what is the greatest commandment? And what was that Jesus replied? Love the Lord thy God? Yeah.
Right. And your neighbor as yourself. Yeah.
Yeah, and the second greatest command was love thy neighbor as yourself. And what happens with the serpents and the scorpions? Well, they don't love the Lord thy God with all their heart and all their soul and all their mind because they bring the abomination that make it desolate. They put something else above that. And they also break the second greatest commandment, which is to love thy neighbor as thyself. Because, if you look in, I believe it's Amos, there's one of those books in the back there. It says, when your brother became a stranger. Well, when the brother becomes a stranger, the brother that was in the church, when the multitude wakes up, they be then become a stranger. They're no longer a brother to the serpents and the scorpions. They become a stranger to them because now they're of a different heritage. They're claiming their true heritage. And so when it says to love thy neighbor as thyself, it's speaking about to love your brother as yourself. And what do? They kill their brothers and sisters. They murder them. So the serpents and the scorpions break both of the commandments, the greatest commandments.
Yeah, yeah. And basically, again, you know, this goes into this whole law grace thing. Jesus reduced the law, all of it, down to those two commandments. Those who are attempting to build the tabernacle, to build the temple, to sacrifice the red heifer, want to bring you back under the law. But you were never redeemed by the law. You were redeemed by Jesus Christ himself. And any truth that sits outside of the Lord Jesus Christ is a heresy and a lie, and it is part of the Great Tribulation.
It certainly is. And that's why the tribulation has to occur, folks, because if the Lord didn't bring this to a stop, if he didn't bring this to a head, then the serpents and the scorpions would take the multitude right down all the way to the pit with them.
Yeah. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump.
Yes, it certainly does. And so this is the cleaning out. This is the cleaning out. This is the separation of the good fishes from the bad fishes. This is the separation of the wheat from the tares. This is how they're separated. This is the what causes the division between them. And it's all about the heritage, isn't it?
It is. It is. It's about your heritage right now in the saving grace of Messiah Jesus Christ and not being deceived by those who are attempting to substitute works and acts of external consecration. It's about your walk and your heritage, which is in Jesus.
Yes, it certainly is.
And I guess that's going to wrap it up for this program. I'll just remind you again, you can find these shows at our website, which is the-thirdday.com. You can also find the same shows and a lot of information at threshingfloor-radio.com as well. And so until the next time we meet, may the Lord bless the remnant of Israel.
And may he have mercy upon the multitude.
Don't blow your tumults. Don't throw away your love. You gotta be as wise as a serpent. Upon the sails of love.